It is sad, beyond my ability to describe it to you in words, that somewhere in this auditorium there is a Christian, or even a family of Christians, who by the end of 2024 will have turned their back on Jesus, will have walked away and quit the church. What I'm talking about can happen to anyone. What I'm talking about can happen to you. It can happen to me. And I want you to understand that this is not just a modern problem. I want you to look at this very carefully, and let's carefully dissect this. In the book of James, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, it's the two last verses of the book. Look at it. James says, brethren, let's take pause right there. The entire book of James is written to Christians. It is written to those of us who are members of the church. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, brethren. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, brethren. In James chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, brethren. In James chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, brethren. This entire letter is addressed to those of us who are members of the church. If anyone among you, give pause again. Who is you? The brethren. Anyone among those who are a Christian, who are a member of the church. If anyone among you wander from the truth, stop. It is possible for a Christian to wander from the truth. That's not only possible, but all of us have seen that. Well, what does that do to them? And someone turn him back. Watch this. Let him know that he who turns a sinner, pause, the sinner of verse 20 is the Christian of verse 19 who has wandered from the truth. Let him know he has turned a sinner from the error of his ways, and he has saved a soul from death. So if a Christian, a member of the church, wanders from the truth, and then they are brought back, that saves their soul. Well, what about a Christian or a member of the church who wanders away, who quits, and doesn't come back? What does that do to their soul? That soul is lost. What I'm talking about can happen to anyone. Listen to how the Apostle Peter describes it, again, writing to Christians. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, literally to swallow down whom he may. Now, let me explain to you how this process works. Let me explain to you how this works. Brethren, there is almost always a delay in the time that one falls away to when they quit the church. Let me explain that statement. There is always a delay between the time that a person makes up their mind, in their mind, that they have fallen away, and the time that they literally stop physically going to the church building. This happens in the head, in the mind first. And they've said, you know what? No more with this. But they will continue to come. There is that delay. Now listen to me. They will continue to come until they can blame their quitting on someone else. They will continue to come until they're able to point the finger at somebody and say, well, he or she or they are the reason that I quit. And if that's the game that you play, let me tell you, the devil is always going to give you somebody that you can point to if that's what you want to do. So here we go. What are the turning points? And that's the term I'm going to use. What are the turning points that come into a person's life to where they say, I'm going away from the Lord and I'm going to quit? What is it that happens to them? What are the turning points that come to a person who says, this is my decision, I'm out? Now let me preference it like this. Every sermon I've ever heard on this, and every sermon I've ever preached on this, we always talk about the same things. We always talk about it's the same thing over and over and over again. Well, they got involved in this, or they did that, or they started loving this, or they did. Listen, I'm not going to talk about any of that. I'm going to talk about the turning points that come into a person's life where they decide, I quit the church, I quit the Lord, and these are the turning points that we don't ever talk about. And I'm just going to be as honest as I know how. And when I get done, you're still going to love me and I'm still going to love you. Or at least me and her, whoever just said amen. Okay? Let's talk about this. The first turning point that causes somebody to quit is that get into their mind, they are disappointed with the brethren. They are disappointed with the brethren. And it goes something like this. Well, you know, I was sick or I was away or this happened, and you know what? Nobody checked up on me, and I'm telling you, I am just so disappointed with those people. Or I was sitting in a Bible class and I raised my hand and I asked a question and the teacher made my question look silly. I'm just so disappointed in this. or I think they ought to do this, or I think they should do that, I think with this, and they did that, and I'm telling you, I'm just so disappointed in the brethren, and I've just made up my mind, the church is just filled with hypocrites. Okay. Let's talk about hypocrites in the church. You listening? Don't misunderstand. You won't misunderstand this. Every elder in our brotherhood, every preacher in our brotherhood, every deacon in our brotherhood, every teacher, every adult, every Christian, all of us are imperfect human beings. Now, here's what that means. What that means is that all of us are hypocritical or inconsistent sometimes. The person who stands up and says the church is filled with hypocrites, that person is inconsistent sometimes. Amen. Amen. Now, you say, well, you're defending the hypocrites. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You say, well, it sure sounds like it, but I'm not. That's not what I'm doing here. Let me ask you a couple questions. Question number one. What do the hypocrites in the church have to do with your personal relationship with the Lord? Now, let's say that I come in here and I sit on this side, because we all know the sinners are on that side. But I come in here, and I don't even want to discuss that side room. But anyway, just right here. I come in, and I sit on this side. Okay? And maybe somebody comes in and sits over here who's not what they ought to be. Listen to me. What do all of the hypocrites in the world have to do with my personal relationship with the Lord? Let me ask you another question. It's a more pointed question. Why are we here? Why are you here? Do we come in here and are we here to judge our brethren, or are we here to worship God? Now, which is worse? Which is worse? Coming in here and worshiping God among imperfect Christians, the most of which are at least trying, which is worse, coming in here and worshiping with a group of Christians who are trying, but they're imperfect? What, listen, which is worse, doing that or just handing your soul to the devil? Happy New Year. it seems to me that losing your soul is an awful high price to pay because you don't want to be with somebody else. Listen to me. Don't you ever quit. Don't you ever quit. And when you see inconsistency in other Christians, and when you are tempted to quit and walk away from the Lord, and when you're tempted to do that, I want you to go back into the scripture, and I want you to think about Jesus and his relationship with those 12 apostles. Listen. Here were 12 men whom Jesus chose. For 3 years, he mentored those 12. For 3 years, he spoke to them. For 3 years, they heard his teachings. For 3 years, they saw his miracles. Those men were standing there when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed thousands of them, and they were the ones who lined the people up in the rows in order to feed them. They saw that. These were the guys who were on a boat in the middle of the night in a storm, and Jesus walked on the lake and walked to them. They saw that. And on the last night of his life, one of them betrayed him. And in fact, he told the officials, "We're going to go into the garden, and the one that I kiss, that's him." Another one denied him. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. And then began to cuss and swear. "I don't know this man. I'm not associated with him. I got nothing to do with him." And the rest of them that night, as they took Jesus into custody, they beat him within an inch of his life. They spit on him and mocked him and finally nailed him to a cross. The rest of those 12 took tail and run, and they scattered like rats jumping off a ship. Are you listening? And when they hung Jesus on that cross, Jesus said, oh, he didn't say, "You know what? All that I've done for you, and this what you do? This is what you're going to do? While I'm just so disappointed in all of you, all 12 of you, you're just hypocrites, and I'm done." He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Are you listening? People are going to disappoint you. Christians are going to disappoint you. Are you listening? I'm going to disappoint you. I'm not going to do it on purpose. I'm not going to sit around and scheme and plan, how can I do this? But you who become so disappointed with the brethren because everybody isn't up to what you think they ought to be, listen. Have you ever disappointed anybody? And if you allow the actions or the behavior of somebody else to take you away from the Lord, you need to understand you are quitting the only one in your life that will never disappoint you. Listen, here's what you need to, I've said this for 40 years. If the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket, I don't have to go. But this is the turning point in some people's life. They quit the Lord because they become disappointed with the brethren. Let me give you a second turning point. A second point that causes brethren to quit. The second turning point is they become dissatisfied with the church. They become dissatisfied with the church. Now, this dissatisfaction comes in two areas. Number one, they become dissatisfied in general. In other words, they think, well, I think the church ought to be involved in this work, and I think they ought to be involved in this ministry, and they should do that, and they should do that. And so because it isn't, they become dissatisfied. Well, the church hasn't met my expectation. I'm dissatisfied. And the second cause of this dissatisfaction with the church is that they are dissatisfied doctrinally. Well, the preacher stands up and says homosexuality is wrong. Listen, you can't say that in 2024. The preacher gets up and talks about this one way of salvation. Nobody believes that anymore. The preacher stands up and says, you know what, there's no instrument in here, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Listen, you can't be that narrow-minded in this culture. Same-sex marriage and transgender, and the preacher stands up and says all of it is wrong. No, he doesn't. What he does is stand up and say, God said all this is wrong. That's what he says. Now, what do you want me to do? You want me to stand up and say it ain't wrong? Is that what we want? When in Rome? Let me give you a parallel here. Here's a parallel. The Apostle Paul went to the area of Galatia, and he established the church in Galatia. He stayed there long enough to get them on their feet, to bring them along. That was his motive of operation. That's where he did. And then when they got established and on their feet, then Paul would leave and go to another area. So Paul establishes the church in Galatia. He then leaves. A short time after he leaves, he receives word from there that these brethren have turned from the gospel. They turn from the truth. When he hears that, Paul then writes the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is different than any other letter Paul wrote. When Paul wrote the book of Galatians, Paul was in a tirade over them. He was sideways because. And he says to them when he starts the book, I am amazed that you can just so quickly be removed from the truth. So in this tirade, Paul asked them a question, and I'm going to ask the question of you. He said to them, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So people become dissatisfied with the church. It either isn't doing what they wanted to do, or it is doing something they don't want it to do, and they're dissatisfied. And others are dissatisfied doctrinally. Well, let's go along to get along. No. That's what's wrong now. You're welcome. Happy New Year again. Now listen to me. Listen to me. How do we correct this dissatisfaction? How do we correct this dissatisfaction? Now, I'm going to give you two ways that we can correct this. You're dissatisfied? Here's how we correct this. Number one, combating dissatisfaction is going to require you to become involved. Look, you're dissatisfied in general? Then find a work, find a ministry, find something that the congregation is involved in, and then you roll up your sleeves and you get involved in it. Now, here's the point that I'm making. Here's the point that I'm making. People will come to a congregation. They're members there. They've been there for years. But when they talk about the church, when they talk about the congregation, they will refer to it as they and not us. You understand what I just said? The reason that the church is they and not we is because you haven't invested in it. If you will invest enough of your time, if you will invest enough of your prayers, if you will invest enough of your sweat, if you will invest enough of your tears, if you will invest enough of your money, you will start talking about us and not they. But not until you invest in it. Not until you put your hand to the plow. The second thing that will correct this dissatisfaction, what will correct doctrinal dissatisfaction is this. It requires instruction. Now, I want you to look at something. Don't just stand there and sit there and look at me. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to show you something. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You're going to get more out of it if you're looking at it. Watch what the apostle says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you do something in somebody's name, you're doing it by their authority. So Paul is saying, I'm pleading with you by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now look at the verse. The only way in the world that there can be no divisions among us, the only way in the world we can be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment is that everybody here has to agree we're going to submit to the Word of God. And that takes care of it. And if God says, this is what I want, then I can't come and say, well, you know, I think, doesn't matter what I think. What difference does that make? And if God said, I said, well, now, you know, let me tell you how I feel. Doesn't matter how I feel. It ain't about me. Bless God, it ain't never been about me. And it doesn't matter how you feel either. Sit there looking at me like that. Look, you dissatisfied? Put your hand to the plow and get into agreement with this book. Number three. The third turning point in people's lives is dispute or conflicts that arise in the church. Now, I want you to set everything down. I want you to look at me. Whenever there is turmoil in a congregation, there is always the danger that fringe members are going to be lost. Wait. When I say fringe members, I don't mean that term to be disrespectful to anybody. What I mean by that term is this. In a congregation, in this one, every Christian is not on the same spiritual level. In Romans, the 14th chapter, in talking about matters of opinion, Paul talks there in that chapter about Christians who are strong and Christians who are weak. So there are strong Christians and there are weak Christians. The Bible talks about those who are babes in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. They've come out of the world, they're in the church, but all of this is new to them. The Bible talks about those in the church who are carnal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and Paul tells them, what I want to do is that I want to write to you as spiritual people, but I can't do that, he says, because you are carnal. Jesus spoke to those who had little faith. O ye of little faith. So within the congregation, listen, within this congregation, there are those who are strong in the faith, those who are weak in the faith, those who are babes, those who have just come in as babes, and that's who they are. And there are those who have little faith and those who are carnal. There's all of these different levels of spirituality. You understand what I mean? And this is the reason that every one of us must agree to the fact, all of us must agree to the fact that we're not going to get involved in needless disagreements. Look, some people like to argue. That's what they do. Some people like to argue at the drop of a hat, and they'll drop the hat to do it. But we can't do that. We can't do that. We have to say to ourselves, listen, the way I conduct myself is going to affect other people. So listen, disputes and conflicts. Many places, brethren are talking and retalking and hashing and rehashing things that don't concern the salvation of anybody's soul. I know brethren who have fought over where to put a clock. That's not funny. They say, look, do we put the clock in the back where only the preacher can see it? Do we put the clock in the front where everybody else can see it? Or do we put the clock on the side where you can see it? This is what you are fighting over? Listen, when I preach, prophecy is fulfilled, and time shall be no more. No, people fuss about what color carpet we're going to get. Conflicts and dispute, and most of them are needless. Let me give you one more thought right here. There are some who come out of the world and they've had a horrible life. Life has been hard on them. And so they come in here and bless their hearts. They think when they come in here, they've already gone to heaven. And then over time, reality sets in. Listen, the church is a perfect institution. It's God ordained. But this perfect institution is filled with imperfect people. The church begins in Acts chapter 2. Three chapters later, a husband and a wife who are members of the church there in Jerusalem get together and they conspire to perpetrate a fraud on the church. And they come in and tell that lie. Both of them were killed in the assembly. Could you imagine if something like that happened today? One chapter after that, in Acts 6, one chapter later, the Greek widows were complaining that you're not taking care of us like you should. And they made a comparison between them and the Hebrew or the Jewish widows. Oh, look, you're taking care of the Jewish widows. If they're like you, you're taking care of them. But look at us over here being neglected. What they were accusing them of backhandedly was being prejudiced. Listen, if it don't matter, it don't matter. And I want to tell you something. You don't have to attend every argument you get invited to. This and I'm done. But I so want you to get this. The devil is going to do everything he can in 2024 to get you to walk out and never come back. He is. Now we are commanded to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And we are commanded not to ever lax in doing what is good, Galatians 6 and verse 9. And we are commanded to be faithful to death, Revelation 2:10. Listen to me. In 2024, you are going to have to face life's challenges. Did you hear me? And some, with a number this size, some 2024 is going to be rough. But as we go through the challenges and the disappointments in life, if we have anchored ourselves to the Lord, these challenges become nothing more than the testing of my faith. And when I get through that challenge, and bless God, I will get through that challenge, you will be a stronger Christian and a better human being. Amen. Now, I'd do anything for you to get this. His name, and I'm giving you his name, His name was Earl Bala. Earl Bala was a great Christian and a wonderful human being. Earl was the kind of a guy, if you got hold of him and said, look, Earl, tomorrow we're going to move the church building from this side of 7 Mile to the other side, the only thing he would ask you, what time you want me to be here? But Earl Bala was diagnosed with cancer. And it got real bad. And Earl kept coming to service on Sunday morning. So one Sunday morning after service, I set him down on the pew. And I said to him, Earl, you know, God understands. God understands. You don't have to do that. You don't have to come. The Lord understands your situation. And here's what he told me. He said, I come to church when I feel bad. And he said, I feel real bad. But he said, the reason that I come is because shortly I know I'm not going to be able to come here anymore. And when that happens to me, he says, I know the thing that I'm going to want to do more than anything else is come back here just one more time. He said, to see these people I love. He says, to worship God. And he said, preacher, to hear your lousy jokes. Listen. Here's what's going to happen to you. One of two things will happen to you. If you quit and walk away from the Lord, if you quit, one or two things will happen. Unless your heart is made of complete stone, you will either come back here or you will live out there wishing you could come back here, but your pride won't let you. The day will come when we won't be able to come back here. And that day, what we're going to want to do more than anything else is come back here. So while you can, you need to embrace this. While you can, you need to embrace this. In 2024, you're going to be tempted to leave. Don't ever, ever quit. And if you're sitting here right now and in your mind, you've already left. You just physically haven't quit coming yet. But in your mind, you've already left. You need to repent. You need to realize how important this is. Nothing is more important than we get to heaven. If you've already quit, come back. If you're away from Christ, come back. You said when this year started, you said before this year ends, you're going to make it right. All right, here it is. Your last chance this year. God help you to come right now.